We're going to set up Leafs Oilers tonight. The battle of the elite players, Hyman and Bunting. Let's talk to Cam Moon, Oilers radio play-by-play announcer. And this insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Good morning, Cam.
Good morning.
Big game tonight. How are we feeling? Yeah.
Edmonton Super Bowl.
I'll tell you, the 0-5 skid, I mean, it doesn't make it, you know, super optimistic around here right now.
What's changed? So they're on a 5-game losing streak, but they started 15-5-0. Now they're 16-10-0, and that's a quick step back from what they were where they were producing. So what's the big reason that they're in this tailspin?
Well, and I don't think you can look past the left side, especially the left side of their defense. Everybody getting hurt kind of all at once. They lost Darnell Nurse for six games, although he's back now. Mm-hmm. Duncan Keith has missed eight. He's very possible to play tonight. That would be his first game back. Cody Ceci was out for four games. You know, Slater Cuckoo is injured. He practiced yesterday. He's getting close. And now Chris Russell is out. So I don't think it's a coincidence that once they started to lose a bunch of defensemen, that they had a difficult time winning games. So I absolutely have to be factored in. But also, in the special teams, which were a huge part of success early in the last five games, has just been okay. I mean, the power play's been 3-for-18 in the last five. You know, it was cruising along at about a 35% clip before that. And the PK, just okay, not even okay in the last five games at just over 62%. So I think all of that's a factor. And even having said all that, they played really well in the loss to Minnesota. They played really well in the loss to Boston, and they were pretty good against Carolina. I thought the game against Los Angeles, they weren't good, and they were outplayed from start to finish. But they've played better. They just haven't got the results. So if you put it all together, and were they winning some games early that they probably shouldn't have? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's been a few games here lately they probably should have won.
So in terms of the power play struggling a little bit, and I know you mentioned you're missing some of your defensemen. So, you know, you're missing a puck mover. You're missing someone who can help set things up for you there. But this was such a dramatic strength. And I think special teams will probably be a story of tonight's game because these are the top two power plays in the league, even accounting for Edmonton's recent skid. So is there something, you know, on an execution front that we should be looking out for tonight that either the Oilers aren't doing well or need to get back to doing better? Or is it just, you know, they're in a bit of a lull in all areas right now?
No, I think on the power play front of the last five games, there's been a little bit of a hesitancy to just put it on net. Maybe looking for that perfect play a little too much, if anything. I mean, if that would be, to me, that'd be the only thing that I would say is a criticism of it. You know, part of it, I guess, is just, you know, going back to the mean a little bit in that it was going at such a good clip. It just didn't seem sustainable. But it's like, as far as the, you know, the players being out, you know, normally it's Tyson Barrie on the back end, but then sometimes to get a different look, to get a left-hand shot, and sometimes you will see Darnell Nurse. So he was out for a while. So that could have affected it a bit for sure. But to me, just recently it's been trying to set up a perfect play that isn't always coming to them. And they could put the puck on net a little bit more to create a little bit of havoc in front of the net, see how she goes from there. So I would expect to see, you know, a little bit more of just getting it to the net.
So we were setting up tonight's game with, you know, the rematch between McDavid and Matthews. And obviously this year is not in the bubble where they were playing each other, seemed like every single week. Is there still the narrative in Oilers country? Because in Toronto, we talk about it all the time. But do you feel the same way that there's this competition between these two and that they get up for this game because they're you know, some of the best players in the league?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And because, quite honestly, you're playing, you know, a very, very good Toronto Maple Leaf team. I mean, that's part of it, too. I think that all of these things lend themselves to make this game a little bit more special than just your average versus whoever on a Tuesday night. But the fact that it's the Leafs, who, you know, original six team and are extremely good club against an Oilers team that, yes, is having a tough stretch right now, but overall has played pretty well. That just makes it it makes it super special. And I know last year it was very bizarre in that they were playing so often in front of nobody. It was just completely weird. But this now feels more normal. The rink tonight will be supercharged because, of course, as you know, there are Leafs fans everywhere, and we'll all come out of the woodwork tonight, and that will make Oilers fans louder, and it should be an incredible atmosphere. The fact that the Oilers are looking to get off this skid only adds to it. The fact that you have some of the best players in the National Hockey League on the ice tonight only adds to it. But anytime you get an Oilers game against the Leafs or the Canadiens, it's a very special event around here. So I expect the atmosphere in the building will definitely reflect that.
Mooner, I was about to get really mad at you because you were like, original six, anytime. Like, don't you dare compare the Maple Leafs to the Rangers. Like, that's coming to town. Like, there's only one team that comes to town and all of a sudden half the building is in blue and white when they show up in other Canadian cities. And that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe a little bit the Montreal Canadiens, but I'm not paying as close of attention. Yeah. But either way, but so yes, you're bang on. Those games are always charged. There's always that like extra energy in the crowd where all of a sudden a regular season game like really matters. All of a sudden, you know, people are spending big money to be at this game that are Leafs fans that are all of a sudden in the sections of season ticket holders and they're rubbing people the wrong way. And, you know, like there's the alcohol is flowing. That's I love arenas like that. Like that is one of the best things about hockey is when you're sitting in those seats and you've got different fan bases kind of chirping at each other in a healthy way that's not ugly and, you know, not a little bit too much booze. Like that's the best. It's the best. But we here in Toronto have officially conceded that McDavid is better than Matthews, and so Edmonton should be happy with Toronto, you know, like at that. This has been the quietest it's ever been here in terms of comparing those two guys because it's happened over and over and over again. And yeah, here it really hasn't been a story. Ehlers set this thing up with the real story, which is the Edmonton Oilers signed Zach Hyman. They gave him a big long-term contract, and he started the season just man on fire. And everyone in Toronto went, oh my God, we cannot believe that this is happening. That they own rental their guy out of town. He goes to Edmonton. He plays with McDavid. Obviously, that's going to work out, but not to this degree. He's scoring goals. He had that one pretty cross-crease one that he scored, and you went, oh, my God, is he even more skilled than we thought? This is a guy who, when he first started as a Leaf, couldn't score a tap-in. Now he's doing that? My God, this is bad. It feels like it's starting to find its level a little bit here. I know he's banged up, and I know that he might not play tonight. But where is the fan base with the Zach Hyman contract, considering, like, down the lineup, there doesn't seem to be a lot of contributions from other players, and that was really the reason why Toronto let him go in the first place, was giving money like that to a player like that.
Well, he has definitely endeared himself to the fan base here on a lot of different levels. The ice level, for sure, has been a good fit with Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you that his work rate is incredibly high. Yep. That guy gives you everything, every shift, every game. And the execution rate has been pretty good, too, with what he's been able to get done on the ice. But the work rate means that whether it's going good for him or bad for him, it's, you know, things are going to go because he works as hard as he does. But not just the on ice, but certainly off ice, he's very much endeared himself to the fans here for a bunch of reasons. I think he started off on the right foot before he signed here with a team that on his own dime, he brought his wife out here to spend some time to make sure that this was a good fit for them, that they would like to be in Edmonton long term. And they did. And that goes a long ways around here. So that really got him going in the right direction. I mean, he writes kids' books. That's amazing. Like, he's a well-rounded individual. And an amazing quote, too. Incredible interview. So he has endeared himself to the fans. He's been a great fit in the top six, which what the Oilers need. They needed another guy for the top six. He's been outstanding that way. So, yeah, it couldn't have worked out much better, quite honestly. So it's been a really good fit, and I know people around here are extremely happy to have him here.
Back on the Connor McDavid front, he's still just 24, but this is a Canadian player who is at the very top of the game right now, and we haven't seen him yet play for Canada in the Olympics. Obviously, there's a little bit of uncertainty right now about exactly what's going to happen and how the Olympics are going to be handled. Do you think this means as much to Connor as it does to Canadian hockey fans, where, hey, you know, on the fan side, it's, hey, we got to see this guy in the red and white at the peak of, you know, being the best player in the world?
Yeah, I think, well, anytime he's talked about it, he's indicated that he would really like to play. So there's the total sum knowledge that I have on that is just that I know he really wants to play. All the other stuff that is, you know, now coming to light right now, as far as, you know, how the whole thing's going to work or whatever. Well, I mean, I guess we'll see, but I just know that he would like to play in the event. Of course. I mean, who wouldn't want to play in a best on best? It would be, you know, that's just, it's some of the best hockey that we ever see. So I know he's fired up to do it. We'll see how it all goes down. I also know he'd be extremely fired up for this game tonight. So, it's going to be, the big question is whether, Zach Hyman plays. Yesterday, Dave Tippett, Oilers coach, didn't rule him out to play tonight, you know, given he got banged up on Saturday night. I know going into yesterday, I didn't think there was any chance that Zach Hyman would play tonight, but Dave Tippett said it's possible. I guess we'll find out later today.
Yeah.
Maybe he's scared.
No, maybe he wants to desperately be in this game is probably my guess, is that Hyman wants to face off against his old team. There's probably, I wonder which one of the guys he wants to forecheck the most. Like, I wonder if there's a defenseman where he's like, you know, finally, this is going to be good. I'm going to really lay into Justin Hall tonight.
I was going to say Justin Hall.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Hall's good eating lately, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So,
there is one. I'm sure we'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Yeah, I think Hyman was really loved by his teammates here. I would be surprised if there was like real animosity, but I will say, so I obviously want Hyman to play because it's more interesting, and yeah, I don't want the guy to be hurt, but there is a part of me going, this Hyman thing has been sort of fine from a Leafs fan perspective in terms of, oh yeah, they've had signings that have worked out in his stead, right? They signed Michael Bunting, who's playing essentially his role. They have the same amount of points, and Bunting is only making $950,000, but actually having to see Hyman play against you and the relentlessness in which he plays with, and him, yeah, hitting the, like, Morgan Riley on a forecheck and making a puck pop out and forcing one to Connor McDavid, like, that is not a moment I'm looking forward to. Like, that is something I could go a little while longer without seeing that I'll be okay. So hope he plays. Hope that doesn't happen. Hope Connor McDavid doesn't embarrass Morgan Riley again. Cam Moon, truly one of my favorite guys in the business. Just the great, great dude. Thanks for making time this morning, man.
Absolutely. Hey, I look forward to coming your way next month.
Absolutely, buddy. Make sure you hit me up.
Well, I will.
Yeah. See you, bro. Cam Moon, Oilers radio play-by-play announcer. And yes, like, truly one of the all-time good guys.
And he,
like,
was an insider.
Yeah.
Brought to us by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com.
I'm going to take this moment to say this again. there are very few people in this business who just like actively root for others. Like there are people who say they do, and then there are people who actually do. And that guy is a active rooter for others.
I love it.
Love that dude. Love that dude.
He's fired up about tonight. Who isn't?
Well, I don't know. He said Connor McDavid would be really fired up tonight. 25 points in 18 career games against the Maple Leafs. That's 17th out of all 30 opponents that he's played against. I don't know. Maybe McDavid doesn't care that much.
That's absurd. That
25 in 18 games is 17th out of his 30 opponents.
That's gross.
That's the dumbest stat. Like how that is. I don't even know how to process that. My brain is broken.
So he has averaged 2 points per game against the Panthers in his career.
Whoa.
And the worst is the Blues and the Sabres are the only teams he's averaged under a point a game against. And he hasn't played the Kraken yet.
No, but I just love the Sabres. Like, show mercy, me lord. And they're like, yeah. He's like, okay.
I thought they already played the Kraken. Was he not in?
He must not have been because he's not on the little pull here.
Well,
because they lost to the Kraken.
All I got to say is... this is not, that's, like, I don't even know how to process it. That's one of the dumbest statistics I've ever heard about somebody's greatness is that it's like, second half, like the lower half of the teams that he performs well against, he's got 25 and 17.
He has played the Kraken. It just wasn't, for whatever reason, the Kraken didn't pull into my thing. Huh. But he had a point against him.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there you go. Another team.
100%.
Oh, he's played them twice. 3 points in two games. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Dominates the Kraken as well, even more than he dominates the Leafs. 18th of 31 now.
Damn.
Just
18th.
He's a machine.
Falling so further dumb. And further.
So yeah, betting on him to get a point tonight,
31 teams he's averaged at least a point a game against. That is hilarious.
Connor, we've conceded that you're the best player on the planet here in Toronto. Least you could do is not embarrass Morgan Riley. Again,
remember when Connor McDavid got asked who his player comp was and he said Tyler Bozak back early in his career?
I do not remember that. Yeah. Remember that because I did not know that, which is amazing.
Remember when I dangled Connor McDavid in a charity tournament and scored?
Do you think that's why he struggles against the Leafs?
That's
because
why. Gets nervous.
He's like, oh no, this
flashbacks.
Is too close to Newmarket.
He remembers that 3-on-3 rink, NTR.
Oh, yeah.
And they toweed him, backhand, sauce.
Watch, tonight will go into overtime, and McDavid will just ask not to play. I can't play 3-on-3 against anyone near Toronto. I can't do it anymore.
What number did you wear?
27.
Oh, I was really hoping that it was going to be somebody where I went, hey, like, he sees the number bearing down on him.
Flashbacks.
And he just, you know, falls, just Bambi on ice, knees buckle.
Who's got the longest hair on the Leafs? Like,
Hall.
Okay, probably, so he'll see Hall's luscious locks and think that's my ponytail.
His hair is like greasy, like a wrestler.
It's not great.
But yeah, so I don't know if you want to have your hair compared to Justin Hall's.
Not really.
But yeah.
It'd be a fun night.
Yeah,
it's at 9 p.m. though, so get your naps in, guys.
It's always fun. You know what though? How can we complain when they bumped the Calgary game so that you don't have to have the back to backs on the late night sched?
Yeah, they don't play again until Saturday now.
That's pretty.
I'm upset about it. I mean, I'm upset about it because the entire COVID situation in professional sports, but not having games Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
When you do a morning 4-hour radio show?
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I really am. It's not staying up late and having to watch them play. Like I hate when I root against overtime, you know? Like that's the worst when you're like, just lose. I hope they lose rather than have to stay up for this. That's bad. That makes me feel like the old sports writer in the media box who doesn't care at all and is like got the game
already. They've already got their thing written.
Yeah, rewrite. No. They're like, I hate
backspace,
it.
Backspace. +400.
They have to say it out loud as they're doing it the whole time.
Delete.
Backspace. That's
+400 for overtime, +1,100 for shootout. I like it.
You like it?
I like it.
Okay.
I'm betting again.
Which one? Both?
I don't know. It's not the betting block yet. I got to get ready.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're doing the betting block in a second. I will say, I'd like to just talk quickly, like, nice things about Zach Hyman.
Yeah, nice things.
If that's all right.
He's a wonderful guy.
Well, we started the show today, and I'm like, hey, I actually think it's Kyle Dubas' best move to have not re-signed him. And I stand by that. I really do. I'm like, the Jack Campbell thing, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but I have a really, really hard time believing that Dubas ever thought this was going to be the scenario. So, not to discredit it, but it is. Come on. It's a little bit of a fluke. Like, it's a bit of a flukety fluke that Jack Campbell turned into this version of Jack Campbell where he's genuinely in the MVP conversation of the series or the season ends today. Zach Hyman is just an all-time Leaf success story. Going grabbing from an organization that didn't know what they had and then let him flourish. And he's somebody who, I think the thing with Zach Hyman, I've always had a theory that he plays the way that he does because he comes from means.
Mm-hmm.
And he's someone who has always doubted because he's had financial backing and a real push from his family to be an upper echelon hockey player. And this is a sport.
I've never thought about that, to be honest.
Money matters in hockey. Anybody in hockey knows it.
Well, I know that my parents, they know that.
Yeah, your parents absolutely know that. If your kid is going to go far in hockey, and this is the dirty little secret about hockey, we can make all these things about, oh, hockey's for everybody. In hockey, we're trying to make it more inclusive and we're trying to do this. It's like, oh, right, but it's still the number one out of the North American sports where if you pay more money, your kid has a better shot at making
the
pros.
The Forest Hill kid has a real chance.
It's not about like just access to a free skate. It's like, how much money can you pump into a kid? And no kid, like few kids, let's say, have had as much money and as much backing as Zach Hyman.
And now he's got all that children's book money coming in.
Yeah, I mean, God.
What is that?
It's like athletes and their children's stories.
I know.
Like,
I'm trying to bait your rant again.
Yeah, I know. You guys are trying to derail me.
Oh, he's got three. What? The Magician's Secret, The Bambino and Me, Hockey Hero.
There you go.
Wow.
I'm sure they're great. So I don't have kids, so I don't care. Like, if
I'm
going
to get
kids,
you that for Christmas.
Great. Thank you. I know people with kids, so that's a perfect regift for me, and I'll look like a sweet guy. Oh, it's from Zach Hyman. I think that because people doubted that element of him, he decided to become the most blue collar players. To me, anyways, that's my always sort of read on him. That's what makes sense to me. He felt like he had to prove it, and he proves it every single shift. And Zach Hyman is still to this day, and he probably will always be, one of my favorite Leafs players that I've ever watched because of that. Because it was just always like, you know what you're getting. You could put it down in pen. There were no like, where the hell was Zach Hyman nights? Didn't even notice Zach Hyman tonight. Never happened. Like, never. Yeah. Never. So, yeah, were there times where he got hurt at inopportune times? Was he a member of teams that are as disappointing as the Leafs have ever had? Absolutely. Was it smart to probably walk away from his contract given where this team was at and the way that they were constructed? Probably. But man, did I love watching that guy play. And man, do I respect the way that he does it.
For sure.
Yeah, and you know what? He's never been dangled by Eilish at a charity game, you know?
Like, well, so give me the chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, around the what made him the style of player he is, like, I can't speak to the being for means aspect.
Well, neither can I. Well, I'm just like,
no, I know. I'm
shooting
just
crap. I'm like,
shooting crap.
But I also, his first 3 years at Michigan, he was not very effective and not a major. So to come from the OJHL where, you know, your hockey's everything, and obviously hockey's very big at University of Michigan as well, but to go from being a 100-point scorer in, you know, under 50 games to, hey, you're a checking line guy in college hockey until your senior year.
Mm-hmm. I've been there before.
I wonder if that's, you know, obviously when we look at prospects and stuff, and this is why he's a fifth-round draft pick, it's more projectable if a guy goes to those places and dominates. Mm-hmm. But in terms of role certainty and growing within a role and figuring out who the best version of you as a player is, that little bit of pre-NHL adversity was probably helpful and probably why he only had to spend a partial season in the AHL before he was ready.
Mm. By the way, Cam hit on something that I think is one of the funniest things about Toronto, where we hear a story like Zach Hyman and how he goes to Edmonton with his wife and is just like, hey, I'm going to check it out here. And Edmonton's like, wow, thanks so much for liking Edmonton or even dropping on thinking that we could be okay. And Toronto goes, ha, Edmonton, having to be that way. And then with our baseball teams and our basketball team, everybody here is like, oh, Alec Manoah had a poutine. Thank you so much, Mr. Manoah, for coming up to Do you like it here in Canada? Do you like it here in Toronto? We want the validation so bad. You know what the truth is? Every place likes validation. Every place. It doesn't matter where you're from. Even if you're from New York, you're like, hey, like New York. Like where we're from.
No, like a specific borough.
Yeah.
Say the bing bong.
Yeah, that's true.
Bing bong. Shout out Joe Byron.
So,
what do you want to say, Joe Byron, right now?
It's so big. It's evolving every day. Also, somebody tweeted at you yesterday, like the bing bong. It's like a daily thing.
Yep. People every day.
No, Will Liu said it.
Yeah, I got Will Liu to say it on his post-game show. Shout out Will Liu. But I get messages from people all day about like last night I got one. Well, when Bonga got checked into the game, I yelled, Bing Bonga, at my TV. And I'm like, yeah, it's spreading. It's an illness we all have now. Yeah.
It's the greatest illness. It's like you can't have a better disease than Bing Bong disease. There's no doubt.
Now just begging Bing Bonga to...
Do something.
That's it. Caliber player.
No, I know. It's just, it's so, like, Ailish is selling t-shirts.
I'm all over it. I'm helping promote this guy. Does he have an agent? Because I should be working for them.
You should be his agent. You've done more for him than his agent has. Bing Bonga is way bigger than, oh, will you sign the two-way contract with the G League? I almost called him Bing Bonga.
He got the full guarantee
for Bing Bonga. I legitimately forgot his name. I was like, what is
his name is Bing and last name Bonga.
Bing Bonga. He's out there. He's getting blocks. Bing Bonga. He's a killer.
This is an agent slander episode of the Fan Morning Show today. Wasserman is just reeling.
It's not shots. It's called accountability, and accountability is a good thing, okay?
Yeah. Speaking of accountability, we got to be accountable for some of our bad bets if we're going to pat ourselves on the back for some of our good ones. We're going to do that, and we're going to reset Leafs.
You said bet the Raptors.
It was just a segue.
I know.
But a lot of the player props got busted as well because the issue with the player props, as we'll talk about, is player props can be very good process and then get busted up by a blowout where all the key participants play way fewer minutes than expected. So we'll sort through that. We'll tee up Raps Nets and we'll reset Leafs Oilers. Maybe some leftover UFC thoughts from the weekend as well. All that's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.
It's the Fan Morning Show. Shout out Vic for playing my ABBA song. Money, money, money. Woo! It's our gambling block.
I gotta say.
Oh, we must be running out of money songs. Yeah.
There's trillions.
Yeah.
If there were ever one final nudge to get Ailish to watch Always Sunny as her next thing, it's gotta be playing that song with the Always Sunny lyric on our way in.
Oh, I never.
If you have a good gambling night tonight, it's fate.
I don't know anything about Always Sunny, but I'll get on it, guys.
That lyric says, Always Sunny in the Rich Man's World.
Oh, I thought it was like, mate, was it their intro song or anything?
No. It just, the lyric said, Always Sunny, and I thought we've been trying to nudge you to watch that.
Here's the thing, though. We are the worst because we've seen all these shows that we're trying to make Ailish watch, and I think we've just overwhelmed her to the point where she's like, yeah, I'm just going to watch The Office.
Look at how much runway she's gotten out of I Think You Should Leave and Succession memes.
Always
Sunny is a highly memeable show.
Yeah, it is a highly memeable show. I think Sopranos, though, I still, if I had a vote, if I was on, you know, Ailish, I can only get you to watch one show, I would ask you to watch Sopranos.
You can only watch one show as you eat your last dessert.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't weigh in on it. By the way, it's Text Line Tuesday, 590-590, or you can shoot us a note on Twitter or on Instagram. Search our names, JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. That's our ats. Blake's is a little different. You'll figure it out. We've said it a million times. You never told us your dessert, and you blurted something during the break that made me so offended. And then you're like, well, I've never even had one before. So I think, I think the true answer to Ailish's final dessert is that she would choke. Like, you're a choker.
I'm nervous.
You're a choke. They'd be like, what's your final dessert?
You're
like,
salad?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
The one I read that you didn't like was Andy from Kitchener says, it's a no brainer, cannoli.
Oh, you were reading that.
Yeah, no, I don't want cannoli. And you were like, that's disgusting. And then I said, well, I've never had it. So
cannoli is. I already crapped on Portuguese tarts.
Yeah.
And now I'm coming after the Italians. That's also gross.
You're going to have one left in your life.
Yeah, see, Daniele, just admit it. Cannoli is so overrated. It's like, it looks so good. It's so, like, good.
You should be worried right now. Because Daniele's got that the cannoli look on his face right
but
now.
But it's just like, give me a break. Who's actually choosing cannoli over other desserts? Like, it's just... Yeah, of course. Buddy, I live in Toronto, and I'm just, like, I don't bake or cook for myself. I've had everything, all right? If there's anybody in this city right now, like, I'm basically a food critic. Like, I eat everywhere. I take advantage of this city. Like, nobody's business. I go to restaurants, I go to bars, I order food all the time, to the point where if my financial manager saw like the amount of
it. Is this a bragging rant about eating food? You're not the only one who eats food.
No, this is just saying like I've tried everything in this city. Like I try everything that it has to offer. I try multiple of them. So I'm not like a one-off cannoli guy. I'm like multiple cannolis.
Cannoli guy.
Go out, get one. Overrated. It's not a Portuguese butter tart. Those are actually gross. Like, oof, I can't believe people eat those. Like, they sell them in packs, too. Like, you don't even buy them as one. They're like, oh, come to our store.
John Tavares reeling right now.
Don't care. Don't care. So Portuguese, my buddy Gomes reeling right now. Don't care.
The one that I did agree with, and that would be my choice.
Yeah.
Tyler in Port Credit sent it in.
Okay.
Creme brulee.
Absurd.
So good.
What is the Dave Chappelle? I wish I had more hands so I could give them more thumbs down.
Yeah.
Like, no, creme brulee? What are you, the queen?
Don't bring the queen
up
again.
I know.
We're not allowed to talk about the queen.
Is bananas creme? Foster not on the menu?
I don't even know what that is.
It's like when you light the little bananas on fire. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great.
It's the fanciest dessert I've heard of.
Yeah.
Well, I can buy lots of creme brulee with all my winnings.
Can you, though?
Yeah.
Didn't you get your props busted last night because the Raptors wanted a blowout?
So I did get my one prop busted. It was a Pascal over points, assists,
over
rebounds.
Over 34.5?
Yep, mm-hmm. And also with the Raptors winning. But I did bet parlay with Raptors and Warriors winning, which was good. It was a bit tight at the end there.
Yeah. Well, Steph Curry making a sweat.
Yeah, so that was it.
Did either of you have the guts to actually go with the Steph Curry under?
No, I didn't touch that.
No, but I did.
Because it hit.
I know, but I did advise a friend on Twitter to not bet it, that I did flag. I did my
the MSG thing.
Yeah, I did my due diligence where I was like, hey, this I got to let you know, because on the surface, it just like it looks like one of those records that you went, oh, yeah, all in. Got to break this.
Nope. That's
Steph
tomorrow.
Knew. Steph knew. I also think that they beat the Pacers by 2 points. And I was so ready to come on here had they lost, and because I also had them in the parlay, like I mentioned, I put the Raptors and the Warriors together. I was ready to just sewer Steph Curry. I was like, Steph Curry, they say he cares about winning, and here he is, you know, not shooting threes so that he can do it at MSG and cost me my parlay. I was totally ready to just do that, Rev. And they won, and he shook Sabonis out of his shoes. Like, yeah. He shook the I want Sabonis on the Raptors out of me with that move.
Kyle Lowry had a really good crossover last night, too. They got stomped by our Cavaliers.
Yeah.
But
So they did. Our Cavaliers, but like, boy, do we love our Cavaliers. What do you love more, the Lowry or the Cavaliers? That's what I want to ask you.
Well, Lowry historically, but this season, the Cavaliers are 22-7 against the spread. I mean, you could go back to the first episodes of this show.
I know.
I've been on Cavs.
I know.
The big swing one for me was I broke your rule and I bet the Cavs the first Raptors game I went to this year. And yeah, that's it's been rolling ever since. 22-7 against the spread.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There's a rule of always bet the home team unless they're playing the Cavs, who you have to bet because the Cavs are money-making machines.
Kevin Pangos has never not covered. Dude, that's what East Gwillimbury does.
Cavs,
my home.
Cavs and Packers are like, thank you for, you know, I'm Michael Scott, the tearing up, like, thank you. You know, like, that's, I needed you. When I was at my lowest, like, I wish I could write them those, like, poems, like, you know, they're the, like, you know that Jesus meme where it's like, and then beside me there was footsteps all along. It's like, that's the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And like,
it's
you were carrying me this whole time. Packers and Cavaliers is like, that's my every single week. That's all I have. They're my footsteps in the sand, just carrying me constantly. I need to know more people's desserts. I know this is Gambling Block and I do want to hit these, but Ailish, I'm going to need you to read, like, if people have their best dessert, their final dessert.
There's lots.
You guys, again, you care more about this than Hyman, you know? Like, I'm like, hey, give me your thoughts on Hyman. And they're like, you know, he's all right. And I'm like, what's your favorite dessert? And they're like, here's what I'll give you.
Somebody said Billy Minor Pie, Blaney and Markham. Never had it. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It seems like it's got, like, I think it has, like, whipped cream and chocolate and something else in it, right? Like, it's a mixed bag of weird things in a pie. Is
sure.
Right?
I don't know. It looks like a piece of cake to me when I Google it.
No, it's like.
I also think that's brand
specific. I think it's ice cream cake.
Oh, it's got a bun.
I think Billy Minor Pie is another way of saying ice cream cake.
Yeah.
I think.
No, it's got a lot of weird things in it.
Like ice cream cake?
Mocha ice cream cake on an Oreo crumb crust.
With caramel and almonds.
With almonds, hot fudge, and caramel.
Yeah, I'm not a big ice cream cake.
Oh, I think it's specific to the keg.
Oh, yeah, I think that it is. Oh, wow. Congrats to that sneaky person.
Yeah, we get a Blaney. You go to the keg every week.
No, you're, this guy's a manager there.
Like, he works for the keg.
Yeah.
We got
deep
fried bananas from sushi restaurants, Berkey and Berry.
I will say
that
this.
That is very specific.
You know but that's where you get them.
Yeah.
Like, if you were at any other restaurant, you were like, no, there's no chance.
I don't know. If the primary ingredient is a fruit, that's not a dessert to me. That's an appetizer.
I was about to defend them, and then you said that. I was like, yeah, no. You know the thing that's actually a deep fried Mars bar, deep fried chocolate bar? Like, that's also like elite. No, you made a gross face. Have you ever had one?
No.
So stay out of this. You know, for our resident foodie, you sure are. You never had a cannoli.
You know what, I'm not like a huge dessert person. I'll have a piece of chocolate or like some ice cream, but I'm not like going out and having huge, I don't know, desserts.
I think what we're learning here is that a professional athlete maybe has a different diet than
that's true. My body's a temple.
Two guys living on their own
as
in their 30s.
I eat bags of Miss Vicky's chips every night.
I don't think you can be trusted anymore. That's my dessert. Yeah. I don't think like you can be trusted when it comes to snacks and to desserts.
I'll be honest. Desserts is not my specialty. I'll let you guys have this. Somebody texted in key lime pie. I'd rather die.
Key lime pie is one of those things where
Disgusting. If
it's at the top of its game on the right day, it's an elite, elite, elite dessert. But if you're like, there's the basement for it is also very low. You know, it's high ceiling, high floor. And on the right day, little piece of ice, key lime pie, elite. Bad day, out of a box, no.
I'm not going with a high variance dessert in my one last dessert choice.
Yeah, but if you're getting the best
version. The question is, it's your one.
Yeah.
Last dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are forgetting that. Like, you're going to pick bananas Foster or I just, it's.
Didn't you pick burnt chocolate as yours? Isn't that what creme brulee is?
No, it's a custard with a, never mind.
Vic just picked the most white trash of all the answers, which is a McCain Deep and Delicious.
No!
Which is like, listen, man, I'm sorry. And I know, like, listen, we've all been there, right? Who among us hasn't mucked one a solo? However.
Right from the freezer. You're over your sink like a rat eating it. No plate. You're just this fork into the into it.
You know what's even grittier with that is when you wake up. And you ate one in bed or you finished one in bed and you wake up and the tray is there? Like beside your bed.
That's really
that
bad.
That is when it's a dark moment for you where you're
I haven't gotten that low in my life.
I've been there.
No,
I've seen
the
tin.
I draw the line at a pizza box in bed with
draw the line.
If you're bringing it into bed and it's one of those frozen cakes, you have to eat the whole thing. We're going to wake up with like a soupy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
gonna,
why it's never a soupy half-filled tin. It's an empty tin that wakes up next to me, and I'm like, shame.
I don't think, and also I don't think that has anything to do with where you eat it. If I'm diving into a McCain Deep and Delicious, there's no half tin.
Yes, but if you eat it in the kitchen over the sink, at least with Ailish, you dispose of the evidence right away. You know, it's a quick crime. No. Whereas it's like you linger with the crime when you bring it to bed. It's like, all of a sudden it's there the next day.
Clean
you're like,
up the evidence tomorrow.
No, you turn on a light. It's like, oh my God, no, what have I done? What have I done?
You look in the mirror and just can't.
No, it's a total game changer. So some quick thoughts on some betting tonight. Keep the text coming. Keep the text coming.
People are so fired up about desserts.
Yeah.
The text line is gonna break.
Again, everybody eats desserts, okay? Even Blake's mom, who has never had sugar.
She hasn't had a carb since 08.
No, she's like, I like at Christmas time, having a cherry. Like, yeah, that's right. That's right, you do.
You're at the risk here of turning the tap of baking off. I don't know. She keeps sending
how
you guys baking.
How is that an insult to her? Like, she's just so disciplined that she has
it's more the voice.
What does her voice sound like?
Well, you made her sound like 65.
That's not true. That was in your own head. You did that. I didn't do that.
Betting. So, by the way, this is the way to pivot off to get back to betting. So, Siakam, your prop didn't hit. He was on pace for it if he played 37 minutes. He only played 30 minutes. Fred VanVleet only played 26. That is your saving grace if you're the Raptors because you're on a back-to-back tonight in Brooklyn. You only have 10 players because Delano Banton is not traveling and none of your injured players are coming back. You are 8.5-point underdogs at the Brooklyn Nets, plus 325 money line. Any feeling on that?
I'm always for the homers parlay, but I don't like this tonight. I don't like either team. Like, I'm not, I don't think I'm betting any team prop, team things tonight. I think I'm going players. Because I have no idea how it's going to go with Raptors. I mean, I do, but I don't.
Yeah,
I don't. I'm not going to bet them. Obviously, Moneyline is plus 325. That's intriguing, but I don't think they're going to beat the Nets.
Leafs in regulation is plus 115. It's minus 130 outright, but plus 115 in regulation. So if you did the full homers parlay of Raptors Moneyline and Leafs in regulation, you're looking at plus 813.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's steep, but it's steep for a reason.
Yeah. No, you get a lot. Like Raptors are plus 330 on the Moneyline tonight. I will say this, like, I don't like the Nets at minus 417 against the Raps because I just don't think that they're a layup. You also have to consider that this is a back-to-back, but Toronto was able to rest a lot of players last night. Nobody was really going hard. Nobody was really doing anything. They're also clicking right now, and they probably know that they haven't faced anybody that, you know, they have old JD on the radio saying, hey, who have you actually beat over this stretch, and that they have Brooklyn in their sights. I think that...
This is a small thing, too, but the Bulls game being canceled on Thursday ahead of time means they know they have 3 days off ahead, too. So maybe
that could be a bad thing, though.
It could be, but it could also be, hey, you have a little more comfort riding your guys.
I just, to me, I go, when I hear that, I think now you guys are looking ahead to vacation. You know, you guys
vacation.
Are thinking.
Yeah,
vacation.
You, Nick Nurse immediately came out and said, we asked him pregame. It's like, oh, what do you do now that the game's canceled? He's like, oh, we've already booked a full practice and a shooting lab at night. Yeah. So we're going 2-a-days in place of a game.
I'm just saying, who among us on a Friday, as you're getting close, doesn't start thinking about like the things you're going to do on a weekend? Look, and if I'm the Raptors, I got 3 days off. All of a sudden, I'm getting a little bit of a vacation. I'm thinking, oh, you know, it'd be nice to hang out with a buddy.
I'll tell you this.
The
Toronto Raptor who would have made the most use of that now plays for the Miami Heat. You give that guy a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, there's a couple rounds getting
I'm going to think that Fred goes hard tonight because he's got extra rest down the road. So I would be betting that if Fred's going to have a night, it's tonight. Because he's not worried about, they get some break.
I don't have any numbers in front of me. This is just a gut reaction to it, and I'm not. This isn't a pick. This is a bit of a stay away from me right now. Maybe this changes throughout the day, but so this is a pass. But I will say this: I think the Raptors have a bunch of different players to throw on Durant and Harden, and after those two guys, there's not a whole ton that I'm afraid of with Brooklyn this season.
Joe Harris out.
Exactly. Has Joe Harris played this year? Like, I feel like
he has, but he played the first meeting.
Yeah.
But so, he's been out a while now.
He's been out a while. There's just not, Brooklyn's depth is quite bad. And I think KD is going to go off because he does. He's matchup proof, right? Durant, it doesn't matter.
And there's no OG. Like, OG's generally the guy you throw out of Durant or Harden.
But even still, it's like you just get multiple looks for those two players. And yeah, this is one of those, hey, if the Raptors defense is a little bit more legit, because, man, they looked awful against the Thunder. Like, that defense in that game, that performance was putrid. You can't have that against the Nets. You can't have the vacation mode. You can't rest on your laurels. But if they are engaged defensively, I don't see why the Raptors can't at least hang around in this game with Brooklyn. That'd be all I would say. So, like, if I'm leaning anyway, it would probably be the Raptors on the spread at the plus 8.5. But, again, to me, it's a stay away. The Leafs lines.
They just put out the players' props for some of them.
So what do you got?
Ooh, McDavid to get 2 or more goals, plus 700. I like that. Do they have, let's see if they have any Hyman in there.
And
Zach Hyman, anytime goal?
Yeah.
Plus 220. They know he's going to score. It's not even worth it.
The problem with that, that's actually pretty good value. Like, not all things considered, like, it depends where he plays. But I think that Cassian is going to be playing with McDavid and Draisaitl. So if you're looking at, like, a player prop or whatever, like, of a guy that might have a little bit more down the prop totals, might be him. But
Cassian's a plus 350 for a goal.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, so that might end up being the best value, especially if Hyman doesn't play. But if Hyman does play, what's his anytime point?
Points. Can't find it.
Okay. Go. Just like the dessert.
Clicking away. Click.
It's okay. So I would look at that. And I actually, so I like a couple things that you've mentioned so far in this, in terms of props. I don't mind that McDavid 2+ goals. I don't mind trying to parlay McDavid and Matthews both with a point.
With a point, no problem.
Both with a point seems nice.
How about like OT or a shootout. Mm-hmm. Going to be a tight game.
Yeah, I actually, so this is one of those weird ones where I don't mind Toronto's value on the money line. Like minus 125, plus 126 to win in regulation. Those two to me actually stand out. I don't think the Oilers are good. They're in a skid, and I know that they're going to be like the backs against the wall game, but potentially Hyman doesn't play. And like we just talked to Cam Moon where he said, hey, it looked like he definitely wasn't going to, and now they're saying maybe. That usually leads me to believe that if he does play, he's playing hurt. And if he's doing that, I don't know. That seems kind of stupid. It's still the regular season. Oilers are in a skid. They don't have good goaltending. Their defense, their blue line is beat up. The Leafs haven't looked great either, but they just had a horrific game. Like, they're coming off of a really, really bad win against Chicago. I would guess that Sheldon Keefe gave them an earful after that one. You saw how he sounded at the podium after that. This sort of feels like a good bounce back spot for the Leafs. I think I actually am going to play the Leafs tonight.
So the over is 6.5.
Staying away from the total because I always root for Jack Campbell and I don't want to see them. But I would say that if you are leaning one way or the other with that, like over 6.5 is at plus 100. Mm-hmm. So like that's where there's more value. And this is a Leafs team that's been giving up a lot of goals. Like what is it now? Five straight games where they've given up three or more? So if you think they're going to beat the Oilers, then
like
you're
4-3.
Yeah.
Six straight.
Six straight games where they've done that. Their Toronto's blue line and Edmonton's blue line are both missing pieces and are both pretty suspect. And Toronto's goaltender might be a little tired. He got a bit of a blow. Maybe he bounces back. But, yeah, these teams have not been exactly committed to defensive hockey lately. So if there was a way, I would be leaning on the over, but I'm not going to be playing that. I will be playing the Leafs, though, on the money line, though, tonight and in regulation. Like, I'll probably have both of those things, maybe the money line on a parlay piece and then the actual just ruin in regulation as an outright. I just think the Leafs are better. I really do. I think the Leafs are a better team than the Oilers, and I've always thought the Oilers are a bit fraudulent. Like, yeah, you could get beat by McDavid, and if he doesn't beat you, who else is? Nobody.
That's why I'm going either. I'm going big on McDavid or, no, not really anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, Leafs to win. That way it's like a happiness hedge for me.
McDavid and Draisaitl, I throw them together. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't say one guy's name, all right? They're the same.
Yeah.
Oilers fans, relax. I know.
Yeah, you know how it works.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's make some money.
Yeah. All right. Let's also spread that love around.
Yeah. And do you want to go see the Leafs play? Well, we can make that happen. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Maple Leafs December 29th home game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. All you have to do is download today's episode of the Fan Morning Show and listen for the special code word that's placed in the podcast. This time it's Blake's voice, so listen for that. Once you've located today's code word, you text it into 59590 for your chance to win. The winner will be selected tomorrow, Wednesday, December 15th. So that's to see your Maple Leafs play the Pittsburgh Penguins on home ice on December 29th. Text in 59590 when you find this special code word in the podcast.